Beyond our job of Mission Street, this is MealPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Impact Hub in SoMa. Today is Thursday, the 27th of March, 2014. On this date in 1775, Thomas Jefferson is elected to the Continental Congress. 1836, Santa Anna orders the Mexican army to kill 400 Texas prisoners of war at Goliad. 1851, the first reported sighting of the Yosemite Valley by Europeans. 1854, the UK declares war on Russia, beginning the Crimean War, the previous one. 1886, Geronimo surrenders to the U.S. Army, ending the main phase of the Apache Wars. 1905, for the first time, fingerprint evidence is used in court to adjudicate a murder case. 1958, Nikita Khrushchev becomes the premier of the Soviet Union. Sorry, that should be earlier than that, not 1958. That was a mistake. I'm not sure what date that happened. What was that, 54 or something? 1975, construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System begins. 1981, the Solidarity Movement in Poland wages a warning strike in which over 12 million Poles walk off their jobs for 4 hours. Birthdays today are photographer Edward Steichen, singer Sarah Vaughan, and director Quentin Tarantino. Thanks to those posting on the forum, a very useful post on movies with a great Tbilisi English language movie Facebook page that we'll post. Everybody should join. You'll get much more comprehensive information than we can provide. There are tons of movies around, and we will start to announce a few more, but check out this Facebook page before you go and whatever information we give. Also, an interesting discussion about Bendukidze's purchase of the agricultural university between Simon and some music aficionado. Simon's point of view is correct in the discussion, which is that Bendukidze was doing a good thing. The composer wannabe feels that it was an inside deal, which, of course, it was, and that Bendukidze ripped off the state of much-needed funds, which he didn't. It's amazing he paid what he did for it, because really it was pretty worthless. More interestingly, the musical enthusiast, like so many musical enthusiasts, is mathematically preoccupied and has graphed over a very long time series how many times I yawn during the show. He posts the graph on the forum, I think, or at least mentions it. Anyway, check it out. But really, I'm sorry I yawn. The more sensitive of you out there in podcast land, remember, I'm not actually having a conversation with you, although it may sound like that. I'm talking into a computer. And I don't really sleep much since I'm busy getting all this information to you and out. So, you know, don't sleep so much, and therefore I might yawn. So forgive me. Don't take it personally if I yawn every once in a while. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com to tell us, for example, exactly what year Nikita Khrushchev became the premier. Go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. On the 22nd of March, Chief Prosecutor summoned Misha Saakashvili to the prosecutor's office to be questioned as a witness in a number of cases, including former Prime Minister Dudu Zhivanya's death in 2005. Misha is currently in the U.S., so the summons was given to his mother, Yuli Alasania. The document said Misha should have been at the prosecutor's office on the 27th of March at 1 p.m. Later, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili said that Misha will be declared a wanted man if he doesn't show, like with posters, or like, how does that work? But he later retracted the statement as rushed. On the 23rd of March, Misha said his summons was a direct order from Russian President Vladimir Putin to destroy him. The former president called it entirely political and therefore illegal. He vowed to return to Georgia much sooner than BI and his followers think. Anti-Misha activists demonstrated outside UNM's office on the Kakheti Highway, throwing red paint at a poster of Vano Merabashvili, the former interior minister. Eka Gigaouri, from the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, said that members of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly who were visiting Tbilisi had many questions about the summons, especially since this is just prior to the June local elections. Georgian Dream member of parliament, not in the Duma, but in the Georgian parliament, remember, Gia Volsky, commented, quote, "Americans killed four presidents, and now they're telling us we cannot interrogate one of ours?" End quote. Thank you, Gia. The U.S. State Department expressed his concern over the government's decision. Quote, "No one is above the law, but launching multiple simultaneous investigations involving the former president raises legitimate concerns about political retribution, particularly when legal and judicial institutions are still fragile." As discussed at the highest levels when Prime Minister Kharibashvili visited Washington in February, the United States urges Georgia's leaders to focus on the nation's energies, to focus the nation's energies on the future, a strong economy, a continued reform of the justice sector, and rapid progress on Euro-Atlantic integration, end quote. Can't get more clear than that. The 26th of March, the Tufts Daily, a Tufts University student newspaper, asked the university not to delay issuing a statement about Misha. According to the article, whether supporting Misha or holding him accountable, making a statement as the Department of State has, is necessary. Misha's decision impact Tufts, so it's critical that that university, who's a leading international institution, ensures its reputation and makes a statement about his affiliation, end quote. Some months ago, when asked in some interview about the new government and if all this was politically motivated, I said, yes, of course it's politically motivated, but it is also in keeping with the rule of law. I think that is still true. Misha kept himself above the law for many years, unfortunately. However, it's also stupid and vindictive. We need to watch the trend line here, and the trend line for the last year and a half hasn't been too good in terms of vindictiveness. I don't think they realize how valuable forgiveness and forward focus is for a country like Georgia. Misha easily could have locked up Shevardnadze in 2003 or 4, and many wanted him to, and it would have been cheered if he had. But he didn't. It's too bad the new government is acting more like the heads of state of neighboring and nearby countries rather than like older, richer, and more successful democracies. Following up on last week's story, the prosecutor's office commented on the release of Zura Zhvania and Raul Usupov's photos. They stated that this YouTube leak hinders the investigation. According to the prosecutor, those pictures were discovered after the 2012 elections at the former office at the office of the former UNM chief prosecutor, Murta Zodalava. The Ministry of Internal Affairs said they do not know who published the images on YouTube. The prosecutor's office questioned Vano Medvedevichvili about Zhvania's death. On the 21st of March, the prosecutor's office detained the former manager of Zhvania's personal bodyguards, Misha Dzadzamia, and former head of the forensic department of the National Forensic Bureau, Levon Chachua, on charges of negligence. According to the investigation, they left Zhvania without protection on the night of Zhvania's death. According to the prosecutor's office, Levon Chachua didn't properly describe the injuries on the dead bodies in 2005. The autopsy carried out then concluded that the bodies didn't have any injuries. On the 26th of March, Zhvania's family accused Misha of lying in an interview he gave with Rustaviori on the 23rd of March. In the interview, he accused Zhvania's widow, Nino Kadagidze, of only being interested in money after her husband's death. In response, Kadagidze, Zhvania's brother Gogla, and his mother Rima Zhvania made a special briefing which urged the media and politicians to keep from making a stir around the topic until the investigation reaches its conclusion. Zhvania's widow denied Misha's accusations, explaining that during the meetings with Misha after Zhvania's death, they always spoke about the cause of his death. Kadagidze said the family suspected that money may have been a motive in the death. On the 26th of March, U.S. President Barack Obama said at a press conference after the EU-U.S. summit in Brussels that there are no immediate plans to expand NATO to include Georgia and Ukraine. The answer was in response to a question whether the crisis in Ukraine will make it more or less likely that NATO will expand to include the two countries. Obama responded, quote, "Neither Ukraine nor Georgia are currently on a path to NATO membership," adding, "There has not been any immediate plans for expansion of NATO's membership," end quote. He also said, quote, "I know that Russia, at least on background, has suggested that one of the reasons they've been concerned about Ukraine was potential NATO membership. On the other hand, part of the reason that the Ukraine has not formally applied for NATO membership is because of its complex relationship with Russia. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, obviously," end quote, said Obama. Minister of Foreign Affairs Maya Panjikidze commented on the statement and said that Obama didn't say that Georgia is not on the path to NATO. According to Panjikidze, Georgia is firmly on such a path. According to State Minister for Euro-Atlantic Integration Alexei Patriashvili, Obama's statement has nothing to do with the issue of MAP. Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili said that the statement was adequate and that the reality is that no NATO expansion is planned at this stage. This has caused a big hullabaloo in Tbilisi, where many people, particularly many connected with the former government who think Obama is weak, and the chicken hawk Republicans, who we all know have done so much for Georgia and offered so much support to Georgia in 2008. I think Obama's comments are both true and smart. The Kremlin worries about NATO because they are paranoid imperialists, and removing this from the discussion is a smart thing to do at this point. There are more important things to worry about than defining the word path and what map is and what it now means or doesn't mean. Georgia is very, very far from joining NATO. On that, we can all agree. The more important question is how much pushback against the Kremlin, Germany, the U.S., the U.K., France, and the other EU countries are willing to stomach, and for how long, and will they be able to increase the pace of those, and will they come up with a common energy policy so that individual your EU countries and others will support other countries that get targeted by Russian sanctions using gas. And I would say Obama calling a very fast G7 meeting in Brussels, which is quite important, was a very good start for all of this. Following up on last week's things to read regarding the Revenue Service and TVMRGE, the licensed representatives of Nielsen Television Audience Measurement, on the 20th of March, the company announced it temporarily suspended its operations. TVMRGE named two reasons for this decision. First, because Revenue Service officers interrogated their staff in late-night sessions at their offices. And second, because 5 to 7 investigators were permanently posted in every office room to check documents. The station described the conditions as unbearable. In addition, the company declared that 9 out of their 10 modems stopped functioning. They made a statement saying they do not want to accuse anyone of tampering until there is a full investigation. As soon as the Revenue Service examines the company, they will continue working. As a reminder, TVMRGE is the only entity in Georgia measuring television audiences. The data is essential for major TV stations to attract advertisers. The Revenue Service demanded that the company reveal the addresses of 330 households where it conducts TV rating measurements. The company argued that disclosing this confidential information would undermine the company's activities in the entire advertising and broadcasting sector. Later, the Revenue Service fined TVMRGE 800 lari for not complying with the request. The company's management says that the firm is facing potential fines of several hundred thousand lari. TI Georgia, ISFED, Civil Development Agency, and several other NGOs issued a joint statement saying that the Revenue Service should refrain from sanctions that will harm the development of a free and competitive media market. So why is the government doing this? It is clearly politically motivated. My guess is because they are so annoyed that so many people watch Rustavi Ori now and that they have, therefore, the highest advertising rates and are self-sustaining, and they can't somehow pretend that this is not the case. On the 20th of March, European Commission President José Manuel Barroso stated that Georgia will sign the association agreement with the EU in June instead of August. President Georgi Margvelashvili welcomed the decision. State Minister for Europe and Euro-Atlantic Integration Petriashvili said that the agreement may even be signed before June. On the 24th of March, Prime Minister Kharabashvili held a brief meeting with President Obama in The Hague at the Nuclear Security Summit. The Dutch Prime Minister presented Kharabashvili to Obama and was about to tell Obama that Kharabashvili was the prime minister of Georgia when Obama interrupted to say they had already met. He's our Georgian guy, Obama said as he shook Kharabashvili's hand. On the 20th of March, the prosecutor, and we all know how the Kremlin has understood that, of course. On the 20th of March, the prosecutor's office questioned former defense minister Irakli Okuroshvili. Later, Okuroshvili told journalists the questions were about the sale of the Imedi TV station. Membership. Applebaum said she is sure Putin is interested in dismembering Ukraine, but he's not in a position to go much beyond that. Everything depends on what Ukrainians will do. Chergolashvili said Putin's actions are a setback for Europe. Applebaum responded that Putin's actions made the West change its assumptions about post-Cold War Europe. The annexation of Crimea, which was a political response to events in Kiev, happened much closer to Western European borders than other events like those in Georgia or Chechnya. The EU thinks Russia should be Western. The West thinks that if they treat Russia like a junior partner, then Russia will eventually join the West too. The events in Crimea will make Europeans think differently. Applebaum thinks that Western leaders don't have the ability to reverse Russia's actions. She said the specific sanctions were silly, but it marked a larger change in European thinking. On the other hand, the Western reaction to the 2008 August war in Georgia was inadequate because some people believed that Putin only had a problem with the Georgian government. Many in the West believed it was not an indication of how Russia would behave in other places. She thinks that NATO can't give military guarantees to Ukraine or Georgia because NATO can't fulfill them. The attitude of the West is that these are not places that can be defended. Interesting interview, and hats off to her for going on the record, because lots of big shots like her visit Georgia, paid for by embassies and donor agencies, they rarely talk to the media, which is unfortunate, or at least in that format where it's just sort of an interview. Channel 1 journalist Teddy Cardava reminded Martin Schulz, president of the European Parliament, at a press conference in Brussels that 20% of Georgia's territory is occupied, according to Cardava. In his opening remarks, Schulz said that the territorial integrity of a European state hasn't been violated since World War II. After that, the journalist commented that 20% of Georgia territory is occupied. She asked Schulz's opinion on whether Russia will go beyond Ukraine and target Georgia and Moldova. Schulz responded that he mentioned the post-Cold War period. According to him, Crimea is under annexation. Russia crossed a red line, and Europe sent a strong signal to Russia. The Democratic Movement, capitalized, led by Nino Bourgenadze along with the Christian Democratic Movement, announced that they will team up for local elections on the 15th of June. Bourgenadze said that this unity should be kept beyond the local elections as well. As a reminder, last week, the former leader of the Christian Democratic Movement, Gio Targamadze, quit the party's leadership and politics. As a reminder, this shows how closely the Kremlin is working with the Orthodox Church, not just in its domestic policy, but in its foreign policy in what it calls the near abroad. On the 24th of March, the Eurasian Institute organized a screening at Dom Kino of a 30-minute-long film about NATO's bombing of Yugoslavia in 1999. Supporters and opponents of NATO protests gathered outside. The event was to mark day 15 years ago when NATO started its bombing campaign in response to ethnic cleansing of Kosovo's Albanians. A young man went to the front of the cinema hall and accused the audience of being Russian agents. Later, fistfights broke out as someone from the Eurasian Institute brought out posters with anti-NATO slogans, and police were unable to keep the two sides apart. Three people were detained. According to Koko Gamzahordia, the son of Zviad, the first president of Georgia of the modern era after the First Republic, the representative of Russian interests located at the Embassy of Switzerland in Georgia is giving out Russian passports to ethnic Armenians in Javakheti, and he said Georgia has not experienced this kind of threat since 1993. Following up on last week's story about visa-free travel to Israel, foreign ministry personnel clarified that the tourist visa-free category does not apply to those wishing to work or study. After a 16-year-old girl in Kakheti committed suicide to avoid an unwanted early marriage, public defender Uchu Nanoashvili called for law enforcement personnel to offer more protection and assistance to those in need. The girl shot herself with a hunting gun. Nanoashvili emphasized that early marriage is still a practice in Georgia and often takes the form of bride kidnapping. This still happens a lot. Following up on the protest in Kazreti, RMG Gold, a company which owns the mines, reached an agreement with protesters. They will have a new insurance package and the safety and safety conditions will be improved. The head of the Kartu Foundation, Nicholas Chatiani, was appointed executive director of Mokalike, replacing Gheorghe Sabanidze. Sabanidze remains a volunteer at the organization. A well-known Ukrainian journalist of Georgian origin, Zura Alassania, will head the national broadcasting company in Ukraine. Representatives of different media outlets recommended Alassania to the prime minister. Alassania was born in 1964 in Sukhumi. He graduated at Kharkov in 2006, became a founder of MediaPort agency and Media Post Weekly. According to the Georgian National Communications Commission, 83 million lari was spent in the Georgian broadcasting market in 2013. 74 million lari was revenue for TV companies and 9 million for radio broadcasters. Rustavioti received the highest revenues among TV companies, 36 million lari in total, followed by Imedi with 19 million, Maestro with 5 million lari. The co-investment fund approved one project in the field of tourism and real estate and four projects in the energy and agricultural sector.
One of the projects called Panorama Tbilisi includes Sololaki Hill, Sololaki Gardens, Freedom Square, and Edekle Meore Square. The project calls for 30,000 new trees to be planted and new parking infrastructure, supposedly 1,800 parking places, some of which will be underground. Underground parking garage in Tbilisi sounds a little frightening. The city's central and historic districts will be connected to the landscape surrounding and parking areas via ski lifts. Oh, God. The fund has already purchased the land in Sololaki Hills and Gardens. The land belongs to different individuals, including one of the largest investors in the co-investment fund, Bidzina Ivanishvili. Project's preliminary annual budget is more than $1.2 billion. Yikes. The UN will help Georgia strengthen its natural disaster preparedness. Over the next 2 weeks, the UN special mission will look at Georgia's legislation and mechanisms for managing risks and map out what areas need to improve. Later, the government will prepare an action plan to reduce disaster risk before the end of 2014. The Ministry of Economy is creating a new service center to protect the interests of exporters. The new body will gather information about barriers for Georgian producers to export their products. Later, the experience will be used when devising regulations on bilateral trade agreements to protect the interests of Georgian entrepreneurs. The group started working this week. According to Geostat, Georgia's number three export is wine. Between January and February 2014, Georgia exported $32 million worth of wine. That's four times as much as the same period last year. Biggest importers of Georgian wine are Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Poland, and Latvia. Russia is the leader with 68% of the wine. Motor cars remain Georgia's number one export product. Motor cars, you don't hear that too often. Number one export product valued at $77 million between January and February 2014 and 18% of total exports. Ferro alloys ranked second with $57 million. Batumi will have a new fancy railway station and mall by the summer tourist season. The Georgian Inn Company will carry out this $8 million project. The Tbilisi Metro has begun improving safety of its subway cars with a $2.3 million modernization project. They will be renovated by the end of the year. Among fast food restaurants in Tbilisi, McDonald's has the most inexpensive dinner while Subway has the most expensive. According to a survey conducted by Ilia State University's Business School, a full dinner at McDonald's costs only 11 lari on average compared to Subway's 14. In parliamentary news, the parliament initiated a draft bill which would make presidential decree insufficient to grant a person Georgian citizenship. The prime minister would have to approve as well. Mark Velashvili disapproved of the draft. He said this issue is clearly under the presidential's constitutional authority. The president's parliamentary secretary, Dato Pataraya, submitted Mark Velashvili's remarks to the parliament for consideration. The meme this week is a video of fights during the pro- and anti-NATO rallies outside the Rustavi film house. The video shows fighting inside and outside the building with Rammstein music in the background. Except I don't think it's Rustavi. I think that's Tbilisi, but okay. Anyway. Oh, Rustaveli film house. Yes, meaning Dom Kino. So yes, it is in Tbilisi, right by the McDonald's. Article by TI Georgia about non-declared property of local self-government officials. The study revealed that some officials in Samagrelo, Zemosvaneti, Imereti, and Ajada self-government institutions submitted incomplete information on their property and business activities in their annual property declarations. These include Acting Gam Geblebi of Senaki, Zugdidi, and Tribuli, as well as Chairman of the Sakrbulo Poti, Zugdidi, and Shuachevi municipalities. An article in ISET's blog about trust in Georgian society with CRC's data, Maka Chitanava, analyzes interpersonal trust in Georgia. The author focuses on two questions. Generally speaking, would you say that you can trust most people in the country or that you can't be too careful in dealing with people? And do you approve or disapprove of people of your ethnicity doing business with other nationals? Interesting answers there. Check it out. Post by Dustin Galbraith about aspects of Georgian nationalism. The blog shows that issues related to the economy have been consistently more important since 2008 than issues related to territorial integrity, and that Georgians are more likely to approve of Georgian women marrying men of other ethnicities which are associated with Christianity. An article from our Malibu desk officer about Georgia's guerrilla gardeners and city park. Since January, Activists have been keeping a 24-hour vigil in frigid weather to keep bulldozers from rolling into Vaque Park, one of Tbilisi's largest green spaces, because a company wants to slice off a part of this park to build a luxury hotel. And unlike with large politically motivated demonstrations, Georgian authorities can't seem to figure out how to deal with the Vaque Park group. They've tried to crack down several times and say the hotel project isn't actually in the park. They're lying. It's very clearly shown that this was a part of the park and that there was a lot of shenanigans under the previous government and the current government in order to make this deal go through, but that it has been illegal all along. These demonstrators, who are heroes, by the way, say this is bogus and are taking the city to court. I have never done this before, but I am going to try to splice in a PRI report here. Not sure if it'll work, but I'll give it a shot.
Given what's been going on in Ukraine, this next story may not seem all that significant, but for residents of Georgia, the former Soviet republic that is, it's a big deal. A group of self-styled guerrilla gardeners in the capital, Tbilisi, have been fighting to save a city park from a luxury hotel development. They've kept bulldozers at bay with a 24-hour vigil that began in January, when it's really, really cold in Georgia. As Jacob Resnick reports, some wonder if this could herald a new kind of protest there.
It's almost 6 o'clock and dusk is falling. So are temperatures. That's why volunteers are chopping wood for fire to warm their hands. Vaque Park is one of the city's grandest green spaces, adjacent to the city's leafy university district. It's a peaceful public common, much like New York City's Central Park. Young people throw frisbees, elderly grannies walk stout lap dogs.
The story going on here goes on in all the parks of our city.
Data Lapuri is a young civil activist. He says pliant public officials are giving away more and more public spaces to fat cat developers. Now one company wants to slice off part of this park to build a luxury hotel. Lapari says if the public loses Vaque Park, there's no telling what's next.
This is Central Park, so if we win here, we win everywhere. So basically this clash is between, like, parks or concrete.
Now a bunch of kids protesting in a park may not seem especially monumental. Georgia did, after all, stage the Rose Revolution in 2003, which swept a corrupt regime from power and put the country on a democratic course. But that was a movement directed by political parties and their powerful and charismatic leaders. Activist Tea Kuchikidze says Georgians have watched the actions of grassroots groups over the past several years and figured, hey, if they could bring down dictators, we can protect a park.
This is probably the first case in the history of Georgian civil society when people are protesting to defend the environment, and this has to do nothing with political parties or any political powers. We're defending the park, and through that, we're defending our right to live in a healthy environment.
Unlike the large, politically motivated demonstrations, Georgian authorities can't seem to figure out how to deal with the Vaque Park group. They've tried to crack down several times, but computer engineer Nick Davitashvili says when they do, a few blasts from social media can bring up to 1,000 demonstrators out to stare down the police and earth-moving equipment.
Now the younger generation can see that by responding to the tweet and coming and standing here, they're actually changing something, because they can turn away the police just by standing here, not fighting, not screaming at them. That is a deciding factor to make people understand that basically if they come, the things will change for the better. If they don't, then they should blame themselves.
Authorities say the hotel project isn't actually in the park. These demonstrators say that's bogus and they're taking the city to court. In the meantime, Data Lapuri says he's optimistic that reason will prevail.
They know we're right, but they also know it's not only one case. And if we win here, we will not stop here. We're going to try to bring more positive changes. But anyways, they do try to ignore us, and they do try to make us look like we're kind of extreme. We're tree huggers. We cry on every single tree being cut, what's very far from reality.
Lapuri and others say this may seem like just another protest, but Georgian officials won't be able to disregard grassroots revolutionaries anymore. For The World, I'm Jacob Resnick, Tbilisi, Georgia.
An article by Liesl Slijinger of the New York Times, Style magazine, on the geopolitics of name-dropping, the author writes that in the game of one-upmanship furtively practiced by travelers, no victory is sweeter than visiting a place whose correct pronunciation is only known by the well-traveled few and whose location is mysterious. Three years ago, the author got an invitation from a British friend to a destination christening for her first child in Russian Georgia, the country of her husband's birth, which was known for most of the last century as the Georgian Soviet Socialist Republic. The author wondered how was she supposed to pronounce the name.
Should it be Tbilisi, as she heard it said by a journalist she knew who had a Georgian boyfriend, or was it pronounced with a tiny shred of a T sound flickering ahead of the B, like Tbilisi, as Russians the author met in Moscow called it? Another name for it was Tiflis, but for the author, that was a Frenchified, archaic, something you'd say if you were a 100-year-old white Russian refugee from the Bolshevik era, sipping your tea and reading Turgenev in Paris. So even me, an old Georgian hand, will often out of laziness say Tbilisi, but TB together is not really that big of a deal, and nobody should be afraid of it. It's just uncommon in the beginning of words, but nobody seems to worry about T and B being together, for example, in football. So the correct pronunciation is the first one I said, which was Tbilisi, not Tbilisi, not Tbilisi, as it used to say in those old radio advertisements in the 90s, not Tbilisi, as I say sometimes, and I shouldn't, and I don't know what Tiflis is. You know, maybe Turgenev does, but I don't. Some Turkish thing, I guess. I don't know. So, Tbilisi, in case you're wondering. All these and things to read will be posted in the forum. This week's geocapital number is 4.75, which is the measure of standard democratic governance in Georgia. Nations in Transit 2013 is Freedom House's comprehensive comparative study of democratic development in 29 countries from Central Europe to Eurasia, and measures transatlantic agreed-upon standards of democratic governance. The ratings are based on a scale of 1 to 7, with 1 representing the highest level of democratic progress and 7 the lowest. The Baltic states were leading among the post-Soviet nations, with Estonia at first place at 1.96. The Eastern European neighborhood countries, Belarus, Ukraine, Moldova, ranked 6.71, 4.86, and 4.81, respectively. Belarus was named a consolidated authoritarian regime, while Ukraine and Moldova were categorized as transitional governments, hybrid regimes. Georgia is leading in the South Caucasus region, woohoo, and is considered a transitional government hybrid regime. Armenia is a semi-consolidated authoritarian regime at 5.36. Azerbaijan was the last in the region at 6.64 and categorized as a consolidated authoritarian regime. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 29th of March, The Grand Budapest Hotel at 7:45. The UK premiere of In Bloom, the Georgian nominee for Academy Awards, is the 8th of April in London at the British Film Institute. British Georgian Society members get an after party, so if you're in London, join up quick. Next Works in Progress will be the 23rd of April at 6:15. Kendra Diaz from the Central European University will present Linguistic Dimensions to Ethno-National Identity, the Avars of Contemporary Dagestan. The address is 3 Kafsadze Street. On Saturday, the 29th of March at 7 p.m., Bauhaus Cafe, a small cafe with an industrial flavor and delicious food, will be opening in Tbilisi, and you'll be able to enjoy a tasty buffet and drinks. The address is 5 Abdo Tbileli Street. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Ray LaMontagne's 2010 hit, Devils in the Jukebox.
Tears that to kill. The big yellow moon rising up over them.